Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is hutting the clock. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. It's noon on a Wednesday, which we affectionately call in this program Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, joins us now. I will tee it up to you, Hutton. We heard from Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon a ton of information and tidbits from them yesterday. What maybe stood out to you the most from what we heard from the Titans general manager and head coach?
Well, the head coach, just speaking on behalf of his experience with being in a spot where you can draft an offensive tackle or a wide receiver, you know, and he's referenced quite a bit his time in Denver with the four pack of receivers they had with Peyton Manning at quarterback, albeit Manning on the back end of his career, but they still went and won a Super Bowl. And the fact that all four receivers could get open in different ways in the moment. And then comparing that to Ja'Marr Chase and saying he's an all pro and everyone knew it in Cincinnati. Same thing with Penei Sewell. They knew he would be an all pro, instant starter, but beyond that. And the decision to go with the receiver over the tackle because the receiver scores points. That's number one. Number two, let me do a 1B. 1B is he doesn't control the roster. We're going to talk about what the other guys said. It sounds like, and I don't disagree with it. I mean, with seven picks, but only three picks in the first, second, and then fourth round, you're looking around going, okay, what do we do to gain draft collateral, to get some ammunition here to go and actually improve this roster now through the draft, get young players who are going to start? You don't do that typically beyond the fourth round. And Caroline, I'm sitting here going, well, the biggest draft capital you have is pick number seven. And if for whatever reason, I'm not saying it will happen, I don't think it will. For whatever reason, if the tackles go a little high, two of them go higher than seven or whatever, and a quarterback falls to you, you're sitting on a great spot there to trade back and gain more capital. I think that it's smart by Carthon to say, hey, give us a call if you're interested in seven.
Yeah.
And see what happens, because right now you're going to spend a lot of money in free agency. You don't have many young players coming in, and typically that's not the best way to go and fill a roster. This isn't Colorado Buffalo's football. You have to build through the guys coming in, not the guys that are already in the league.
And I'm with you on what Rand Carthon said about the seventh overall pick. Essentially said, look, I like seven. I'm not married to seven. I'll pick up the phone about seven if you've got something to offer. Jonathan Hutton is with us. You bring up receiver. I feel like the overwhelming sentiment from what Rand Carthon had to say yesterday, he was talking about getting faster, about how fast the Miami Dolphins were, about stretching the field of, look, you know, if the receiver's at seven, this is a deep offensive line class. It seemed like all signs pointed toward receiver at seven. But I think we all know, one, the Titans probably don't know what they're going to do. And two, if they say something in February, they might not necessarily mean it. But what did you make about the receiver talk yesterday?
No, I agree. I mean, so last week we were discussing, I would go receiver early and try to load up and pay an offensive lineman with heavy money that has proven that he's that guy. Now, there's not a great list of who's who at offensive tackle, like compared to some of the names that have been thrown out there the last couple of years. So I understand if you want to go young, and you can build young next to Peter Skoronski and with your quarterback, and you've got a great core there. But this is the time with a rookie quarterback and a rookie salary to load up at a spot that is premium. And you take advantage of the fact that your quarterback's not eating up a huge majority of your cap whenever you have to be below it at a certain time. And you can give the guaranteed money there until you have to pay the QB if he pans out. So I would do that. I would also draft young at receiver because that generally hits, you know, that generally works out. At the high point of the draft, not every one of them, but it's hitting a great deal more than what I remember it hitting in the first round of drafts of 20 years ago. D D-Mace, you can speak to that too. But you know, the top end guys generally are used like that. And look, point being, give me a receiver that is going to come in and play well and hit, and you give him the football. I think this coach, pass-oriented, is going to do that. Vrabel also talked about getting faster. John Robinson also talked about getting faster. I saw last year's draft, they were laughing whenever they took a running back and everyone thought they were going to address receiver in the draft room. So, yes, you're right. It is, it's line season. It's always line season in the NFL. And this is also coming off of a 2 years ago where they said, Vrabel said that A.J. Brown wasn't going anywhere, and then we saw what happened draft night. So
and Brian Callahan told us yesterday that he hasn't looked at the college tape. Like, okay.
Of course. Of course he has. But hey, all that's good. All that's fair because every team's doing it. Right. I would just say they want options at seven, including people picking up the phone and calling them, because there are more quarterback needy teams than just the top three teams. And who knows if those top three teams are going to end up staying where they are.
Yeah, you're right, Jonathan. I mean, this time of season, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, you could look at it, you know, several different ways. You could look at it and take it 100% and say, well, Brian is saying they're going for a pass catcher, or you can say Rand said they're going for a tackle, or they can possibly move down in a draft. You know, I think right now, they are it's sort of like a cloak and dagger. You believe half of what they say, and sure. I think you start to believe more of it as free agency starts to, you know, come up, and what
right.
they do in free agency, I think, will be a telltale sign of what they could potentially do in the draft. Because if they go out and they address some of these issues, whether it be the cornerback or the receiver, I don't think there's a tackle out there that they can get. Because, again, Rand said, hey, listen, good tackles, either, you know, if they get released or on the market, it's because, one, they make too much money, or two, they probably can't play as well as you may think. If you have your tackle, you're going to keep that guy and you're going to sign him to a long-term deal. So,
yes.
To me, it's – What does the Tennessee Titans do in free agency? And then I'm going to reevaluate it and look at what they could potentially do in the draft.
Yeah, and also if you the only other way that you have the tackle hit the market is something like Orlando Brown,
yeah.
You know, or Orlando Brown Jr. And what happened there. But also, Mace, you know, unless you're paying a quarterback and a wide receiver at the same time, I'm just thinking about Minnesota, somewhere else. That I don't know about their line situation off the top of my head. That's just an example where you have to pay some. But also, the cap going up more than what it was expected to, at least from the outside looking in. I'm sure the cap people and internally got a glimpse of that earlier than what we did. That changes some things. And we don't know what the franchise tag is going to look like. Mm-hmm. I just like knowing that the receiver and quarterback are paired together for a certain amount of time, the allotment. We know that you have Levis with D-Hop for another year, right? Who knows? We got into the other wide receivers last week. I'm just the premier wideout with the rookie quarterback on the rookie salary, I should say. I like that, and that's a model that this head coach has been in, and it's also a model that certainly Carthon has seen from San Francisco. With the different wide receivers / not gadget players, but I guess they are gadget players that they brought in, different types of guys, including high-end guys. But they've also invested on their offensive line. You have to protect the QB. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to do better in free agency. They paid some money to players that were backups to play on their offensive line last year. It doesn't have to be the premier guy. And I also should factor in the fact that they have Bill Callahan coaching them. So if he's signing off on a guy that doesn't seem to be that type of dude in the draft or in free agency, to me, that's a high mark that I'm willing to bring him in, make sure he's in this locker room, and allow the best offensive line coach to go out and be the best offensive line coach with him.
Now, what do you make of what Brian Callahan said about Treylon Burks and about the tight ends? Because when I asked him specifically about Chig and Wiley, he seemed like a kid in a candy store with those two guys. It seems
yes.
like he really loves what he sees out of that tandem of tight ends.
Mace, they're versatile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think that's the if you're an offensive guy and you've got players in this league, which it's so specialized, that can go out and do different things. Yeah, I mean, I look at Chigakonkwo and think he can do a lot. He can line up a lot of different areas. And then, I mean, Kelly was using him in different areas last year. So, yeah, and of course, you've got a special teams guy in Wiley that can also play on offense. How versatile is Treylon Burks to you?
I think Treylon Burks is as versatile as he wants to be. I think he play inside, outside. I think he can do the bubble screen.
Is he an outside guy?
Yeah, I think he is. He needs to learn how to be more physical. I think sometimes these guys that have bigger bodies, they want to play this sort of basketball game. And maybe your body and your agility, not to say he's not agile, but your agility doesn't warrant that. I would always tell big guys, man, I wish I was 6'4", 6'3". Use that 6'4", 6'3" body and just overpower people. Because if you do it too many, if you do it enough, they're not going to, and I promise you this, they're not going to want to press you anymore. If you establish a physicality, you look at all the guys, Terrell Owens, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. They didn't want to press them. Why? Because of the physicality. DK Metcalf, you don't want to press him. Why? Because of the physicality. You 6'3", 6'4", play like you 6'3", 6'4".
I love spitballing this because we're back into Treylon Burks. But I think he's a crucial piece. They have to have him take a big step. Why? So we saw that at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We saw him do that at Arkansas. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm trying to learn why it's such a struggle beyond just out of shape and whatever. How much are the hashes factoring in here, where he can run, get physical, get open with the field? They can use him with the KJ Jefferson rolling. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, the college has played sideline to sideline. NFL is that way too, but it's really down the middle of the field based on where the hash marks are. Mm-hmm. That's why the game is so sped up for the quarterback. How much of that is difficult for a physical receiver to come in the way he was used at Arkansas, get him to the open field and let him beat one guy different for him?
I'm not sure. There's going to be that adjustment period for every receiver, I think.
That bothers me though, if he's still struggling going into year three.
Well, you got to understand too, Hutt, he's been off and on the field. He hasn't really got himself into a rhythm for whatever reason. He hasn't gotten himself into a rhythm of being out there consistently. And then being the number one guy, being targeted, being a part of the game plan. Honestly, I think last year there were a lot of times that I didn't believe that he was a Vrabel guy. So if you're not a head coach's guy, especially in that system with him as head coach, you're not going to get many opportunities. He's not.
I mean, he didn't get opportunities in week one.
Yeah.
They were throwing the football to Hopkins, and that was it. And they threw the football against the Saints 40 times on purpose. I mean, it's just –
yeah.
And he made some catches in that game. But, I mean, again, like, I'm with you, man. It's a head-scratcher because now we find out. Mm-hmm. He's got a reset. He has an offensive coach that wants to throw the football a lot. I mean, he starts with answering his offensive philosophy with – the pass game, and mentions three aspects of it, including efficiency and getting the ball out fast. It's time to see what he's got. And I agree. They have to view him as an asset because they don't have many options in regards to what they want to do and build other positions up. It's, by the way, you mentioned three positions: wide receiver, offensive line, and corner. It's a good year for the top 100 at all three spots. And the Titans, well, they've got two crucial picks in the first and second round. And then that fourth rounder, if they can move up or move around, that'll be the area that they do it.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Hutton, you got me thinking here with the tight ends. And I guess I had not really heard him talk about this. Maybe he has. But I'm talking about Callahan.
Yeah.
How does he like to use the tight ends in his system? Because we're used to, in this market, in the Derrick Henry era, if they're not using flat out a fullback, they were using two tight ends a higher percentage of the time than a lot of teams. So what's Callahan's way? Because that plays into the question of Wiley and Okonkwo, because we know I don't know if either one of those guys is the prototypical blocking tight end, but maybe they're not asked to block as much in this system.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this right now with this personnel, Willie, if you're just watching film of your team, you're 12 personnel, right?
Yeah.
You're going
one
too
back,
tight
two tight ends. Yeah.
Just because of the depth at receiver currently. Again, just evaluating this team right now. So I would be high on the tight ends. We spoke on Chigakonkwo throughout the season as, you know, where has he been? And then we saw a gradual uptick in what we were seeing. He was going through some drop issues, catching the football. No, I think he's the talent everyone should be excited about in the building if you're just coming in. And from Wiley's standpoint, it's the size, it's the length, it's the ability. If you watch his highlights at Cincy, it's the ability to go and get the football. Titans don't have many receivers like that. So, I would treat them – I think they're viewing through the lens of – especially Callahan – viewing them through the lens of receivers more than blockers. And that's another factor that hopefully Treylon Burks buys into, just tying back to the mentality of wide receiver in the Titans offense. It's now reversed. It's flipped.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about blocking, but it's going to be pretty – it's going to be down the list of requirements. You've got to bring it, but it's not item zero at the top of the list for what you want and qualify to be a Tennessee Titans wide receiver in this offense anymore. That should energize all these guys because it's not banging hats as much as it is getting open and running with the football.
I'll be curious what the run-pass balance is in this offense compared to what we've seen before. But presuming that Derrick Henry is not back, which I've heard absolutely nothing that would indicate to me that
I don't think he is.
He's coming.
Yeah.
So this is a new era. So is it going to be based on the league average? Like they've run well above the league average most years over the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years. So what's
they're one of
be
those teams that invests. Yeah, yeah. Right.
And I do think if you're going to be running more 12 personnel, if you're going to be running more two tight ends, or if you're going to be running two tight ends in general, you probably need another tight end, no?
Yes. You're going Brock Bowers there. Brock Bowers, though, would also be viewed as a receiver. Again, like I'm not drafting Brock Bowers to be a traditional tight end. The traditional tight end now is Kelce, Kittle. No one talks about their blocking. They're physical. They can. I mean, you have to. But no one's talking about, oh, look at the block he set for this guy. No, yeah. You're putting the football in their hands. And that's why you'd be drafting Bowers there too. And let me say, when I say they invest, they're one of the teams, I'm going back to Willie, they're one of the teams that invests in running backs. There's a litany that they're going to have another Zoom call and complain about their pay again this offseason, I bet, because there's a
guaranteed
big group of veterans, and nothing will come of it. There's a big group of running backs again this year. And if you're just in the past, if you're just making a list of here are the teams who actually want to pay running back, it was the Titans. It can't be anymore based on the philosophy and how they describe this offense. That's why Henry's not coming back. Now, why would he want to be back? Why would he want to be back in this offense, right?
I mean, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. Jonathan Hutton is with us, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, I heard PK talking about this morning when he was with Robbie and Joe, that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are coming back from Indianapolis for the groundbreaking ceremony and are going to be doing the rest of the interviews on Zoom. Do you have a problem with that?
No. But Chad Brinker's there, correct?
I know that Anthony Robinson is there.
Then Chad Brinker's going to be there. So Anthony Robinson would be below. If we're just doing the tree, he's on the side of Rand Carthon. Uh-huh. And Brinker is, if you're just doing the job description, Brinker's there too. I mean, right now, Sean McVay. By the way, the Rams have been drafting great, third round and below. Screw these picks or whatever they said. They've been drafting guys in the first round. They don't have to, but they draft the right guys. McVay's not at the combine. Period.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go. There's other coaches that aren't going. So they got their staff together. Brinker's there. It's also the trend that you all of a sudden you've never called plays and you're a head coach calling plays, especially off the McVay tree. Based on what the teams who win are doing, the Titans haven't been doing that lately. It's clear to me, though, that Brinker, in regards to whatever they're doing at the Senior Bowl, he was there, mm-hmm. and whatever they're doing at the Combine, they went, they discussed some things with players they wanted to discuss, and now they're going back for the groundbreaking. They could also go back if they wanted to. It's not that far of a drive or a quick little Amy Adams Strunk jet tour of northern Tennessee and southern Kentucky. it's not that bad. And my guess is if there's one or two players that they want to talk to and pinpoint, they've got the seventh pick, and they can already bring in guys that they can really grill at the facility or at their pro day.
Jonathan,
I would be there, by the way. I would be there.
Yeah, and I look at that, you know, I know Sean McVay isn't there. I know Kyle Shanahan isn't there. I know Robert Saleh isn't there. Mike McCarthy isn't there. But are those teams winning because they're not going to the combine?
No, they're winning because they're drafting well.
And they're winning because they have drafting well and the quarterbacks, at least as far as some of them are concerned.
Yeah, right. But they're also bringing in players. They kind of know what they're doing, but also they're drafting high, so that they have.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of the Jets and others. They kind of know what they need. Jets need an offensive lineman, right? They need to boost their offensive lineman for Aaron Rodgers. They're all in with him, but different circumstances. But the combine is more about medical, and the one-on-one interviews. You can interview literally anybody, anytime. There's no restrictions at the Senior Bowl. There are restrictions, 15 minutes or whatever, at the combine. And you can bring guys in. You can go to the pro days. You can send scouts out. You can Zoom all the time. There are different ways to learn the player. And, I mean, these guys are so scripted through their agents now. It's really tough to figure out who you're getting when they walk through the door in that amount of time. You can't grill them on the X's and O's, and you can't really pinpoint, okay, what happened off the field here in this incident. Because then the bell rings and you're off to the safety dance where the other guy comes in the room.
Jonathan,
I would still be there.
Right, yeah, I hear you, and I know that they all get the training, the media training, the interview training, but still, you don't get that many opportunities.
Can I also say, if it's about coming back for the groundbreaking, they were told to for the photo op?
Mm-hmm. Right, I don't think that was their decision.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I don't think they care too much about these guys, big scissors.
Yeah, that came from up above.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I don't want to judge the sole decision on Rand Carthon choosing not to do it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, these guys, their livelihood is centered around ball, not about construction. But it's a big moment in the franchise, and there's a photo to be done, and they're back in Nashville. They're doing their job.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hut, appreciate you as always, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this. Have a great rest of the week, guys.
All right, thanks, Hutton. You're the best. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. We'll react to what Jonathan Hutton had to say coming up next, plus new NFLPA report card. How did the Titans do? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. So the NFLPA has been doing this new thing. I want to say it's in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
The NFLPA report card usually comes out around this time of year, where the NFLPA will send out a poll to every player in the NFL and ask to grade on different categories. Treatment of families, just kind of like things that are applicable to players, off the field kind of things. Treatment of families, food and cafeteria, nutritionist and dietitian, locker room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coach, and ownership. And all of this is public. Now, the individual players' responses aren't public, but they combine all of their responses and they do an average of what each player and each individual team, what they had to grade each individual team. The Tennessee Titans overall ranked 18th of 32.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, not terrible, it's kind of smack dab average in the middle. Before we kind of get into the specifics of it, D-Mace, when you were a player, did anything like this exist? And if it did, how seriously would you have taken it?
I think it, because the NFLPA always have some type of questionnaire, whether it be about, playing surfaces, other stadiums, your stadium, they've always had sort of that questionnaire phase. And what happens is when a PA comes in, this is typically how it happens now. I don't know how it happens now. The PA comes in and they have their huge meeting once a year. And there's a lot of stuff they need to go over. They may come in, you know, come once prior to that or after that with a little smaller meeting. But typically they have this huge meeting after practice. And, you know, they're going over things about the collective bargaining and new rules and whatnot and, you know, what players need to do and who they need to contact, all this other stuff. But then they give you questionnaires to fill out. And, you know, typically guys are, if they're going to err, guys typically err in favor of the organization, you know, because you don't want it to come out that your organization is the worst organization. So typically guys are err on, yes, we're great. Yes, we do this. Yes, they do that. Yada, 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 whatever. But I think guys are starting to, you know, be a little bit more honest about their assessments of, you know, the facility, the, you know, cafeteria, the weight room, because it's all anonymous. You know, the NFL is not going to take a questionnaire, you know, and then make it public with people's names on it. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're guys not going to throw players
exactly,
under the bus.
Absolutely. So what they do is they give you this questionnaire and they tell you to fill it out honestly. No one's going to know who filled it out. So guys typically, you know, if they don't err toward the, you know, the organization, they typically just fill it out honestly. So you got to take what these guys are saying and you got to take it honest. You know, these guys, they may listen. I loved being here in Nashville and playing in Nashville, but Frank, will I tell you, we didn't have the best setup. We didn't have the best
trailers?
Setup. Yeah, we didn't have the best setup for the first couple of years now.
I mean, now, your setup at Michigan State was probably head and shoulders.
Oh, absolutely. It was came here, and it was like, oh, man, this side of the NFL is? Oh, my goodness. I should have stayed for a fifth year in college. That's the case. So our setup wasn't great. But that doesn't mean we didn't enjoy being where we were as a team, because it's more so about me and you than, you know, the stuff around us. We got to stay together. Actually, it made us stronger as a team because we didn't have all those things other teams had at that time. So then we move into a new facility and it was much better. You know, so I'm sure guys filled it out honestly. I know I filled mine out honestly. So when you see, you know, say, for instance, Kansas City, and everybody's just thinking, oh, man, everything must be perfect in Kansas City because they're winning championships. That doesn't mean everything is perfect. That doesn't mean that they have the best lunchroom in the National Football League. That doesn't mean that everybody loves the owner or the GM. That just means everybody is playing for one another.
They actually had significantly worse grades than the Titans did.
Exactly. So when you look at it, don't look at it and say, oh, nah, these guys don't. I mean, no, they're answering them. I'm pretty sure majority of these guys are answering it honestly. Mm-hmm. Like our, you know, if I sit down and think, our cafeteria is horrible. You know, back in, you know, when I was playing here, a lot of guys would order food during lunch. Not to say that the food wasn't good. It was, you know, but it was just the whole setup of how the food was, the cafeteria.
You were right by the mall.
Exactly. So, and then
food
we,
court,
it was like the first 2 years, we were eating out of
slice.
We were eating out of we were in the trailers. They had these hot plates. You know, you come in and grab your food. Guys are like, we had better in college. So I'm going to give you a D because I've experienced better in my previous stop. So when guys answer these questions and you see these grades, take them for what they're worth. Believe that these guys are answering it as honest as they possibly can. When you see D's and F's and A's and B's, these guys are telling you, like, listen, this is how we feel. We feel it can be better. Travel. We feel it can be better. You know, we used to come on a plane. I'm not going to say what team, but we would come on a plane and we have to walk through everybody else that had nothing to do with the product on the field as far as sweat, blood, and tears. They were all in the seats in the front, and we were all walking past them, and then we had to be seated behind them. Guys complained about that. guys are like, nah, this ain't how this shit work. You know, we should be the ones and everybody else should be in the back. We the one that's working hard. So stuff like that does. And then you're talking about big guys. When you say travel big guys and you put me, if you got three seats and you're squashing three big guys or two big guys and a small guy, after I've just played two and a half hour game and I got to ride back like this? Seriously, come on, we got to do better.
The setup you guys had in Memphis was, I know, a particular problem for the there's like, if your family wanted to go to the game, there's like a bus you take to, to Liberty Bowl. That was just a nightmare.
It was, you know, because guys understand now, these teams are making so much money, or they're worth so much money now. Why can't the accommodations be A1?
Yeah.
Because you can do it.
And you're only making more.
Exactly. You're only making more money.
Peacock is in on it. Amazon paid a kajillion dollars.
And you write it all off anyway.
Yeah. There's money to go around. Yeah. And
the system is built for you to break even on day one. Like, if you're losing money, it's on you.
Yeah, something wrong with you and your business plan.
Right.
Like, so even if you lose every game, you're getting so much money from the league up front, and the salary cap to your players is set up so, but you can't fail if you're in the club, right?
Right.
Once you in, you in unless you do something.
So there's
stupid.
No reason that you should have the players not taken care of, you know, within reason.
And I do think that this is more than anything a message to the owner of, look, this is genuinely how we feel. That I think that these report cards, and specifically the Titans report card, should mean more to anyone. Amy Adams Strunk, that she looks at it, the two categories that stick out to me in a negative way more than anything, treatment of families, the Titans get a D+, which is actually 17th in the league. Mm-hmm. I think that should also be a message to the league that if you're right smack dab in the middle, kind of average, and the grade is a D+, you need to be doing more to accommodate for families. The reason that, you know, the breakdown of the Titans' treatment of families at D+. They're one of 12 teams that do not provide a family room during games, and they do provide daycare on game days. I mean, that means something. That's important.
That's very important.
To make sure that your families are taken care of. If I read this and I'm Amy Adams Strunk, and I do believe that Amy Adams Strunk is willing to cough up the cash to make the facilities better. I mean, didn't she just spend a lot of money on the cafeteria?
That means something to her. And those things are probably up. Now, when it comes to the families now, that building, we all know that building was built on a cheap, hence that they're getting another building now. I'm pretty sure in this next stadium there will be a room designated for the families. They can go in and wait, because sometimes these guys take, you know, from the time the game ends to the time they get to their families, it's probably an hour and a half, two.
So you got
your family out there, and if you're injured, if you got injured, now you gotta go see the doctor. So I would rather have my family in a room designated for them, television, stuff for the kids to do. And I'm sure that will be in the next building. You know, stuff like that guys pay attention to. You know why they pay attention to it? Because the wives come back and they like, seriously? This is how things are? I got to wait for you 2 hours, which I don't mind waiting, but we're waiting just in the hallway. You know, just out, just standing there waiting on you.
Or sitting in the car.
Exactly, or sitting in a car. Like, there should be better accommodations. You know, everybody can't get a suite. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody don't have the money to get a suite. Fortunately, you know, for me, it was Samari and myself. We went in half. We got a suite. So our families can stay up there until we get ready to come down, until we're ready to go. But all families are not like that.
And that's also money coming out of your pocket when should be accommodations by the team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another category in here that if I'm reading this as Amy Adams Strunk, I think to myself, I need to be better. Mm-hmm. I need to do more for my team. And we'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts on this as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Michael McCarron, Big Sexy, and Dante Fabro. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. So the NFLPA, over the last couple of years, has put out an annual team report card voted on by the players of team and player accommodations, whether it's cafeterias or travel or the training room. The Titans rank 18th of 32 teams. Not great. Mm-hmm. But there's one that stands out in particular, you know, D plus for the treatment of families. One that stands out to me, team travel gets an F. Mm-hmm. Says only 63% of the players feel like they have a comfortable amount of personal space during flights. That's 28th overall. And it says they're one of seven teams that make some of their players have roommates the night before the game. If I'm Amy Adams drunk, I look at that and say, okay, what can I do to improve that? You're traveling a lot. You're sore. Your players are hurt. You want to take care of your players on team travel.
Well, I mean,
30th ranked in team travel, by the way.
If you don't want to have a roommate, then this was my experience. I'm trying to think back. My first couple years, I did have a roommate, and I hated it. Not that I hated the person that I roomed with, but I just hated having a roommate. I'm like, man, I did that life in college. I had a roommate, you know. Now I got to have a roommate as a grown man with a little change in my pocket, playing for an organization that's worth a bunch of money. I got to have a roommate. But as I started to get older in the game, if you want to have a room for yourself, then you have to pay half of it, and then you can have a room. And that's cool because you just write it off in taxes and you'll be fine. So, you know, as I started to get a little older, I always had my own room. And there are a lot of other guys, if they wanted to have their room, they could have their own room, but they would have to pay for half of it. The organization would pay for the other half. So, you know, that, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, guys are like, hey, if I don't, the choice is, I don't mind having a roommate. Some guys just don't mind. Mm-hmm. You know, they buddy up with somebody, and they don't mind because their thing is, I don't have to pay for the room, so it's good.
Yeah.
But other guys, older guys, are like, no, I don't want a roommate. Mm-hmm. I'm a grown man.
And aren't some teams sort of split? The younger players get roommates, and then as you graduate up and you have more tenure, you get
sense.
The privilege of having your own room. Own some teams do it that way.
That makes sense to me. But as far as this is concerned, TBS, I'm intrigued to get your thoughts on this because, you know, when we talk about free agency, like when Amy Adams Strunk said, Rand Carthon makes the Tennessee Titans a destination for the league's top talent. Like, does he or is it the money and the potential to win Super Bowls that gets free agents to certain places? From a player perspective, how much do these things, the cafeteria, the weight rooms, the locker rooms, the treatment of families, how much is that a factor? Of course, we always talk about money being the factor, but you've been there.
If it wasn't a factor, then they wouldn't be redoing that building that they're redoing their practice facility.
Fair
if
point.
That was not a factor, they would have kept it status quo the way it was, and you know, it is what it is. But no, it is a big factor in guys walking in and envisioning themselves there every day, because you spend more time from, let's just say, May to hell, January, and if you go to the Super Bowl, talk about February, you spend more time with those guys than you do with your family, honestly.
It is true.
You know, because you're there from, some guys get there, if you're a quarterback, you're getting there at 5:30 in the morning, and you're not leaving until 6-7 o'clock at night. So you're spending all that time with the guys. You're not spending much time with your family. The off season is for your family. So if that is indeed the case, I need to make this as comfortable as possible for the players. The accommodations need to be there for the players. Once they're in this building, we want to make sure they do not want to leave. When now, for me, being here in Nashville, going from the trailers, going to the new facility, that was a total upgrade for us. It was like, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. Even though there were still areas that probably should have been a little bit better, but they, you know, did what they needed to do to make everything, you know, to accommodate the players. But then once I left, and I saw another place, I was like, man, it seemed like
a whole new level.
They're in 1950 and this place is in the year 2000. You know, not to say that it was bad. It was just the upgrades, the accommodations.
There's like, a lot of different levels.
Listen, totally. I want it as players. You want to be even if you're working at a big Fortune 500 company and you know you got to be there for 8, 9, 10 hours, whatever it is. You want to walk into that building and feel, okay, I have everything that I need. I don't have to be some millionaire, but as an employee, if I walk into this Fortune 500 company, it's a big company making a lot of money, I should walk in, the cafeteria should be nice. There should be areas for us to lounge and relax. We don't have to leave the building and go on break. Certain things should be there for the employees, because if you have happy employees, your business will prosper. It will. If you have happy players, hardworking players, your team will prosper. I walked into that building, and the cafeteria, it may not seem like nothing to people, but when you can go into a cafeteria and you can go up there and whatever your mind wants, you can get it. That's like, wow. From a nutritional standpoint, I want this. I want this. We got a nutritionist that's coming in and helping us. The Titans did have that. Mind you, they did have a nutritionist.
They got fairly good grades of nutrition and dietitians. 12th overall.
Exactly. So they've always had that. Mm-hmm. But when you can have that and a nice lunchroom where, you know, the people that are making your food, you know them, they know you. They know exactly what you need to eat, and they have it for you, ready for you to go. That's one less thing you have to worry about. I don't have to leave the building to then go get me something to eat. All those things matter. Those things are little things, but they matter in the big scheme of things. Training room, weight rooms, all of this stuff. If I need something, okay, give us a couple of days. We will have it for you. And damn sure did they have it for us.
And yeah, like you said, is it because of these things? Are these things going to show up in the win and loss column? Mm-mm. Not necessarily, because the Kansas City Chiefs had horrendous grades. And they won back-to-back Super Bowls. So it's not necessarily the difference of wins and losses and making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, but it's being taken care of by your ownership.
But you can afford it because who you – see, the two places that were – one place that I – it was just, like, horrible – in the sense of I walked in and I'm like, man, this is where y'all practice? Well, two places that I went to. Houston was horrid. That was Houston had one of the worst, and I mean one of the worst facilities in regards to their lunchroom. It was nasty.
It sounds like everything. They've done some upgrades.
And they might have done some upgrades, yes. But back, it was not that the people were bad. It was just the whole accommodations, everything. It was just like, seriously?
Sloppy Joe's for lunch.
Exactly. Like, makes sense. It was just, and then the other place, it was like, seriously? This? But they had, the one thing they had that nobody else had was Tom Brady.
Yeah, right.
That's one thing they had. And you know what Kansas City has that nobody else has?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
So and it's not because of the lunchroom you have
exactly,
Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. It's not because of the lunchroom. People can look past the lunchroom. Why? Because you got Patrick Mahomes. Right. That's what's winning. But guys don't like the accommodations. Mm-hmm. But hell, we got Patrick Mahomes. So they can ride that. But when they don't have Patrick no more, mm-hmm. or, you know, New England doesn't have time no more. Now you have
to
start
full throttle.
Exactly. Now you have to start accommodating, making some accommodations, because if you don't have that X factor on your team, why am I coming here?
Well, we call it a game of inches for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it's not even just talking about what we see on the field. It's every single teeny tiny little advantage. Just an inch of a razor's edge of advantage that you can get in this league. Wouldn't you take it?
If guys didn't care, if it was perceived guys didn't care about, you know, where they're working, their workplace, then you wouldn't see so many new facilities popping up.
Clearly wanted to get your thoughts on this text phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ricky says, then they can go sit in their luxury vehicles after the game. I feel like we're being nitpicky.
Again, I can't do that. It's just, to answer that question, it's just like, seriously, dude. I mean, I don't care how luxury my car is. Do I want to eat in my car? That's a
drive-through.
No. That question right there is a question, and I'm going to say this, and it's not that the person is a uninformed question. That's what it is. It's an uninformed statement. That's what it is. When you haven't been there and you make comments like that, that's an uninformed statement. I go back to, I don't care if it's a football team, Enron, whatever, Apple. I don't want to have to eat my car. Who does that? Now, if I choose to eat my car because I want to get away from everybody else, that's different. But I don't want to have to. I'm looking at the lunchroom. I'm like, damn. Bugs here, trash everywhere. They hadn't emptied the trash. The food's nasty. I got to go to McDonald's and eat my car. Who wants to do that? Nobody. And I guarantee the person that's working, if he wouldn't want to do that or she wouldn't want to do that. It's their business.
Also, I think that we need to remember that we always focus on the players that make a lot of money. There's players in this league that don't make a ton of money.
But I don't understand this. Why are y'all mad at the millionaires? Shouldn't y'all be mad at the billionaires? This is why this country is so the way it is sometimes. You're mad at the guy underneath the guy. You should be mad at the guy. Shouldn't you? Like, I should be mad at the billionaire, not the millionaire. Why are you mad at the millionaire or the thousandaire or just a hardworking person? Shouldn't you be mad at the guy at the top or the girl at the top that's making all the decisions? Where have we gone as a country when we blame the people in the middle and not the people at the top?
Player rep teammate is coming out. He's coming
I don't
out.
Understand that, man. People think. That's why we're so trapped in the situation we're in now.
We live in
I'm
a
sorry.
Society,
I'm sorry.
It's the last time somebody asked about eating your car.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to eat in my car. You damn it, it's a luxury car, and I don't want to eat in it, okay? Unless I choose to. If you ask my ex-wife, she don't let nobody eat in her car. Nobody, not even the kids, eat in her car to this day.
But if I did have to eat in a car, I would want to eat in your car.
Oh, yeah. If I had to eat in my car, I would like to eat. I mean, I wouldn't mind eating my car, but I don't want to have to eat in my car.
You have good cup holders. Good cup holders.
Listen to my own music.
Seat warmers. Yeah. Nice seat warmers.
I'm sure you got
seat
many massage
But I've been blessed, truly. I've been blessed. And what I say sometimes, just take it with a grain of salt, except what I just said about the whole being mad at the millionaire when you should be mad at the billionaire.
Don't take that with a grain of salt.
Don't be mad at us. Be mad at them.
Exactly. Very fair point. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We heard from Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan yesterday. And do they want us to think something? Is it what they're going to do? It's this time of year that gets all of our minds wrapped up like a pretzel, and we'll talk about it coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.